the superiority complex.
It's like honey in your ear hole.
There was no eye contact. You okay, Justine?
I mean, I was staring at you, but it wasn't mutual.
All right, the there feeling. We go.
It wasn't mutual.
I already have to flip the monitor.
The feeling's mutual.
Shout out to my wife. I already had to flip the monitor. Somebody's looking at hot cross buns when we're trying to start the show.
He's looking at baked corgi ass.
Is that what it was?
Ass, ass,
you want to
see?
Ass.
No, I don't want to see. I want to do a podcast.
Baked corgi ass. Yeah.
You're like, we're here to do a job. I pay you people to lay a little track.
Wait, you get paid?
Not to dance around like a bunch of Kansas City.
What in the wide world of sports is going on here?
I love it. How are you guys? Welcome in. Good. Welcome into the show. We welcome everybody in.
This
Come
is a
on
safe
in.
Space.
Pull up a chair. It's time for some nerdy chat and geeky humor. God, what have we started every week like that? This is, of course, your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. I'm here. John Sandy is here. Jake is here. Patrick's here.
Howdy.
Justine is here. Jake has abandoned an attempt to regrow his beard.
You know, I needed an extra week.
Yeah, just take a week off. Next time we go on vacation.
No, I need 2 weeks.
You need 2 weeks to get that?
Because I had 1 week until my next shift, and then it just didn't quite grow long enough.
Yeah, yeah.
I needed to be a little bit more. I needed to go past that awkward stubble, like mm-hmm. the long stubble. I needed to actually turn to beard, but
and you have your beard is like a reddish,
a little red, bit.
So it, like you can really tell if it's not full. Yeah. It's not grown in. Yeah.
You should put on a false beard while it's growing in.
Yeah. You just get a yarn knitted one. Don't
yeah,
know
well,
the
what you do is you just dress as Santa every day until Christmas.
True. Just say it's for the holidays.
Yeah.
And you're growing the
That's
actual
creepy.
Beard.
Yeah.
What?
He's like, sit on my lap.
I didn't say anything about that.
I didn't say,
oh,
yeah,
I
didn't
know.
Say that.
I just
yeah.
thought it was creepy.
He's just dressing as Santa. He's not acting like Santa. I mean, he can throw out a ho, ho, ho.
Yeah. Oh, he's throwing out some hoes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he goes, sit on my lap.
Sit on my lap and call me Santa.
I like when you sit on my lap.
God. What are you on for Christmas? Santa's got a present for you.
Santa's got a brand new bag.
Santa's
call
got
me on the radio.
Call
me on the radio. The code is Santa's got a brand new bag. It's almost time to watch Elf, guys. I'm excited. Has anyone cranked out any Christmas movies yet?
Yeah.
Klaus.
Where did you watch?
Klaus,
yeah.
No. I mean like a Christmas. Like a traditional Christmas.
No, not yet.
I'm going to watch White Christmas and It's a Wonderful Life probably next week.
I need to watch those Claymation ones.
I watched Sister Act 2.
Nope.
And then
oh, no, we watched... it was... Oh, God. What was it? It was the new Christmas movie that came out.
Anyways.
A Hallmark Christmas movie?
Last Christmas.
Last Christmas.
How was that?
It was pretty good.
John, you saw Ford versus Ferrari?
Yeah.
Has anyone else seen that?
I want to see it.
It was
it.
Great.
It,
it was really
I
good.
I
want
to see it so badly.
Fascinating.
It looks great.
Yeah, true story. So it's fascinating.
Yep.
And they're Christian Bale and Matt Damon both do it.
Who
I
plays
don't know if I have a movie where Matt Damon was good in it.
Oh, really?
A bunch
true
of movies.
Grit?
The Martian?
Dogma?
Holy cow.
True Grit?
And, of course, all the
Goodwill Hunting.
Goodwill Hunting? He's an amazing actor.
I've never really seen Goodwill Hunting, but it doesn't look good.
You never saw The Martian? Where he's trapped on Mars?
No, he was so good in that.
Oh, wait,
it
I did see
stupid.
That.
And
I
you
did
loved
see that.
It.
I love that.
I That's, did see The Martian.
I love that. You saw
because
it. Because
the Interstellar
it.
Came out a little bit after that, too.
Yeah, kind of
he was that bad guy that was awesome.
I'm glad Patrick's around to remember that. You saw it, and you
actually,
loved
you know
it.
What? I liked him in Interstellar because he was an ass, and I just think he's an ass.
Okay.
Matt Damon is not an ass.
Anyway, he was great. He played Carroll Shelby.
Jimmy Kimmel
and,
was an ass.
And Christian Bale. Christian Bale played the race car driver.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It looks really good. I want to see
it's
it.
It's fascinating.
Check it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife and I saw Knives Out yesterday. Mm. That is great. If you love a little Agatha Christie style movie, kind of transplanted to America, ripped from today's head. It's exactly what a family, what would a family at a, what would a, like if you were at your Thanksgiving dinner, this probably happened. What do American people talk about when they're at a big family? Yes. And that plays a huge part of it. It's awesome. And
it's Christopher Plummer.
Christopher Plummer is fantastic. He plays the patriarch. And,
a Klingon.
He's, yeah.
With a metal eye patch.
General Chang. That's great. Have we not heard the chimes at midnight, Kirk?
That's so great. A Klingon that knows his Shakespeare.
That's right. And then the great thing about Christopher Plummer, if you go back far enough, he plays Sherlock Holmes. And who is his Watson?
James Mason.
That's right.
That's right.
Hello. Holmes, I don't think we should go down this alley.
He really should have been. He really should have been Holmes.
He could have been, but he never.
He could have been a great Moriarty.
Yeah, he would have been.
Just absolutely like, you know, you're such an idiot, Holmes.
Yes. Then it is possible that everything I have already thought has crossed your mind.
Oh, face the master. Yes. Face your master.
That's right. Hello, I'm I wrote on the theory on the dynamics of an asteroid. You may have heard of me. I am a professor of mathematics. God, it's easy to do a James Mason.
He's so great. And Daniel Craig's in it too, right?
Daniel Craig is fantastic. Such a wonderful. Just hear him do like a southern drawl. That's a very southern gentleman.
He's extremely talented.
He is. See him enough. And everybody in the movie looks like they're having fun. That's what's great about it. Everybody looked like they just had a
Jamie
blast.
Lee Curtis?
Jamie Lee Curtis is great. Don Johnson's great. Everybody's good in it. There's not one weak link.
Maybe I'll check that out today.
There's not one. And then General Zod is in it. I can never remember that guy's name, but he's always good.
General Zod?
Yep. He was Zod in the Superman. He was in Shape of Water. He's always
Michael Shannon.
Yes.
Michael Shannon. Dwight Schrute's
Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, Dwight Schrute's brother.
He's always the psycho
cop. Michael Shannon?
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's always great.
Dwight Schrute's
brother. You saw The Shape of Water, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was so good.
He's always good. He's usually the psycho cop.
Yeah.
What's he in this?
He is the
psycho cop.
He's the son of Christopher Plummer is basically like a Stephen King style. Uh-huh. Well, actually, more of like an Agatha Christie style writer, and it's great. They've got it's this big ramshackle house he lives in, and he winds up dead in the opening scene. Shh. So you're not spoiling it. It's a murder mystery.
It's an Agatha Christie.
Yeah, but I know nothing about it, so why
go
are you
see
it?
Well, because you
to.
He doesn't even talk before he's dead first.
That's
and then
like
they
Sunset
show,
Boulevard.
They show him in flashback.
No. Yeah, that's like Sunset Boulevard saying that William Holden gets it. Yeah. What's the opening shot? He's in the morgue.
Yeah. So,
and so it's Rian Johnson who did the last
Rian Johnson
Jedi?
Who did Last Jedi, and people who are hating on that movie, suck it. Hate that. Don't hate. Appreciate. Because this is a great movie. He wrote and directed it, and kind of does a little, kind of plays with the genre a little bit. So it's good.
I'm going to check that out.
Great cast. Everybody's good in it. Emmett Walsh is even in one little scene. Our friend Emmett Walsh, who we just saw in Blade Runner. I need you. Need the old magic. Go check it out. Guys.
Yeah.
Let's talk about The Mandalorian.
Who wants to go first?
Who here? Oh. Let me ask you a question. John, how did you feel about A Bug's Life?
Oh, wow. That's a weird question. Is it starting to take that...
Jake, how did you like Three Amigos?
It's pretty good.
Justine, how did you like The Magnificent Seven?
I mean, I like that movie.
So it's all these movies rolled into one?
Go ahead.
Patrick, how do you like Seven Samurai?
It's a great movie.
Yeah, it is. It's that.
So basically
what we're just doing is we're just taking a classic
cut that down to 30
samurai
minutes.
Movie. Next week on The Mandalorian, Space Yojimbo. Guarantee he will go into a planet and set two rival factions against one another.
I would not
be
surprised.
That's the case, I'm sure they said, well, what the hell? Lucas was doing Hidden Fortress for Star Wars.
I even read a review online, and the first two words in the sentence say, and in this episode of Mandalorian, Seven Samurai. And I'm like, son of a bitch. Yeah.
But you do get to see a scout walker, ATST.
That walk, that shot, that first shot where it's at the opposite end of the trench that they dug, and that's a really cool shot. Yeah.
What's
I
a scout
that was
walker?
Great.
Like an AT-AT?
AT-ST.
You know what the AT-ST
is.
From the third one?
It's the chicken walker.
Where the chewing.
Oh, yeah.
And they slam the two wood things and squish it like a pancake.
Did they really need to teach them how to fight? I mean, if a bunch of Ewoks can take down some AT-STs, I think they'll do just fine.
We're going to watch Seven Samurai, and it all makes sense to you.
Are you saying Ewoks are dumb?
No, they're smart.
Ewoks
are smart. They're crafty.
Yeah, they're like
is that going to be your film?
Tiny.
When we do a film from the past?
Seven Samurai, yes. Samurai. Yeah. We haven't watched it yet. We should have watched Sunset Boulevard. We didn't watch that one.
Yeah, how'd that happen?
I don't know. I don't own it digitally. I do own a copy of Seven Samurai, but it's not in my Voodoo collection. It's only on, because of the way that it's a Criterion film.
It's in that Hoodoo collection?
It's a Voodoo collection? Voodoo is the app I use, but all your movies turn up there when you buy them there. But because Seven Samurai is a Criterion film, and I bought it via Google, it's only in my Google. Most of them, if I buy them on Google Play, they'll
I think
turn
you
up
can and, bend the rules for some stuff.
I just forgot it was there. I forgot. Because I don't look at the Google Play, because everything I buy on Google just ends up on Voodoo.
We can do it when we all pick one movie.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
That's what we're going to do. We just said that.
We'll do Seven Samurai. What are you writing?
We keep
down?
Talking pen, about pen. This though, but there's no set date.
It's gonna happen.
No, 300th episode.
I've got a whole list going of. I've got like a 10.
I gotta freaking no. That's not gonna be. That's not gonna be the 300.
You guys are gonna watch.
I got like
the
10.
Mask.
I've got.
I thought we can only choose one.
Yeah, you can only choose one.
Right. So I've got this list going. I've got to narrow it down to one. I'm going. Okay. Is it? So I'm gonna add Sunset Boulevard to my list.
I want to know how you pick. I want to know what your criterion is for picking the one that you're gonna pick.
It's tough.
That'll be the whole episode, is John breaking down to us why he chose.
So what
this
we do
movie.
On the Digital Movie Club, if you're a new listener, is every week we go through a movie in my digital, two movies in my digital movie collection. Right now we're in the early 80s, and we're making our way through. And then at the end of every decade, we go back and take movies that we may have missed or have been added to my collection from previous decades.
Or listener recommendations.
No, we're not doing
or
that.
Or listener recommendations.
Never
which
again.
Kung
Never
Fu again. Hustle podcast killed by... recommending Zardoz. So we're never ever taking listener recommendations again. Sorry.
And then somebody else recommended
Logan's
Run.
But we can't just watch good movies, you know. We gotta
be
put in perspective.
Just watched
oh, Logan's, Logan's Run, the call has came from inside the house. That
yeah,
was,
I know.
That was Raul.
Yeah.
I know.
We know who said it. We know.
Yeah. I know. We know where that bad
yeah, we had
came
a double.
From.
So let me ask you this. Out of the movies that I actually own, what was the worst one?
The Jerk.
What was The Jerk? Was the one your least favorite?
Yeah, it's definitely my worst.
What was your least favorite?
All of Your Bonds.
Okay.
All of Your Bonds.
I can't think of it. I can't think of any.
John,
to look at the list.
You know, like Battle for the Planet of the Apes, I guess.
Yeah, and that was just because it was part of.
Yeah,
the,
it's
we,
part
we'd
of
already
it.
Done
yeah.
the other four.
Yeah.
I'd say Beneath the Planet of the Apes is probably the worst.
Mm-hmm. No, I like that.
That's
one.
Actually the lowest we rated.
Yeah.
Everyone.
But that goes to show you've got pretty good taste in movies.
Yes, yeah. that's the whole point of this exercise.
Like, that's what I've been saying for the
last
3 years.
This is a giant ego stroke. This whole thing is just...
Well, we have very similar taste in
look
movies.
Look how nice my movie collection is, you slob.
Isn't it nice?
You slob.
It's a very nice movie collection.
Stop watching your Reese Witherspoon movies and your Fast and Furious movies.
Fantastic Voyage was pretty bad.
I am not looking forward to that.
Fantastic Voyage is awesome.
No, when we start watching your Fast and the Furious,
Fast and the Furious, it does not count.
No.
Are you telling me you didn't enjoy when Raquel Welch was being attacked by all those amoeba?
Nope.
Really? And they had to like peel them off of her suit?
John, don't get me started about that.
You didn't enjoy that?
Just don't
you
get me started.
You didn't like that at all.
Let me run it back for you.
Please don't.
You didn't like when Stephen Boyd said, "We've got to peel these off her suit. Give me 2 hours."
Wow.
Sorry.
I'm taking it. Some of these movies really take you back. That's what I like about
it.
I do.
I know.
Sean's a
anything with Raquel Welch. It's it takes me back to when I'm like 12 years old going, gosh.
I think Breakfast at Tiffany's
none of the girls
favorite.
Look like that.
Breakfast
class.
At Tiffany's your least favorite.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow.
I mean, there are parts of it that are definitely not.
All the Mickey Rooney parts.
You know, here's a little thing. Speaking of Mickey Rooney controversy, John,
yes.
You're the only reason.
So you like Nashville?
There's one scene. Oh.
Thank God I didn't watch that.
I was thinking of doing a movie for our, because we have Christmas coming up, so I was going to do 2 '80s Christmas movies. And I was going to do Christmas Story, which we haven't done yet. And everybody, I think, here has seen it.
Yeah.
Right. So that's an easy, we'll talk about that for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about how great Darren McGavin is for 5 minutes.
The great Darren McGavin.
But I was going to do Trading Places, and I always, you know, Trading Places is a movie that takes place at Christmas, and there's one scene I forgot about, completely forgot about. And I don't know if you remember it. I don't want to make any spoilers. But it definitely tainted my enjoyment of the rest of the movie. It comes in pretty late. We'll talk about it after the show. But almost to the point where I was like, do I want to... It's a very Mickey Rooney moment.
It's a jerk moment?
You're saying it's a slur. It's a racial slur.
Oh, well, there's a lot of that, but that's part of what... That's what shocked me about it because... The movie's so adept at pointing things out, and then at the end of the movie, they just do this really
cheap
joke.
Shot.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, that kind of... Well, let's do it. We'll talk about it. Anyway, that'll be closer to Christmas. Right now, next week, 2 weeks from now. Well, we're not talking about the Digital Movie Club. We're talking about how much we didn't like this. I'm getting bored of The Mandalorian. Let's talk. Go back to The Mandalorian. We'll go back to this.
Yeah.
Sorry. We jumped the tracks there for a second. Engine number 9 going down.
So who wants to start?
If the train should jump the track...
Pick it up.
That was a kid's thing.
Justine, what did you think of this episode of The Mandalorian?
Baby Yoda was really cute. And
yes. That's how they keep saving it. No one's sick of Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
Baby Yoda.
As soon as you're about to complain, you're like, oh.
Yeah. Haven't they given him a name yet?
You know, online, when I was going to go buy, they have a little Funko Pop of it. They call it The Child.
Yeah, he's called the
child. It's in quotes,
He calls him the child.
So, yeah. Anyways, he's adorable.
No, no, this episode he was his son.
I didn't believe in a love interest between the two.
No.
I didn't see how that was possible.
Never was going to happen.
Too soon.
She liked him, but I don't think...
She wanted his helmet, it wasn't not the that one long. On his head.
Hey-o! What does charming that mean? To the
take
last.
Off your helmet.
Buff your helmet.
I just want there to be more struggle.
Take me to
I want to feel like he can't do it all.
But he's a Mandalorian.
Like, just how, like, Baby Yoda saved him last time.
Like, that he's didn't not really... as good as he thinks
Baby
he
Yoda saved him.
Yeah, and I just want, like, I want him to lose something.
Well, they might be building towards that.
Like his virginity.
Jesus Christ.
Just kidding.
How do you know he is?
I don't know. He's never taken off his mask.
So you've never taken off your armor?
He'll sustain them.
It'll be like Excalibur. He'll just do it with the uniform on.
We'll just see about that.
I can't wait. We'll take off the helmet anyway. Yeah. Can't. Take off the jetpack. Nope.
No. Also, he said he never took his helmet off in front of other people, and yet he was smack dab in front of a huge window with a group of people right outside, and no one cared to look or no one seemed to notice.
No one pays attention.
I told you.
I'm just saying.
I'm just
privacy screens.
There's I just no want
privacy screens.
Bad things to happen. I want more struggle. There's not. I don't want a happy ending after every episode.
Disney Plus.
It's like watching any other show where, like all those old shows where they have a story and then it ends in the one.
Yeah.
And episode. Bruce Banner throws the rucksack over his shoulder and just walks off to the next.
You know, thing. After Game of Thrones, it's kind of like up
continue,
the ante.
Yeah, I want like a continuation of something that's still going on. Like,
I wanted Baby Yoda.
People
to
are
die.
Binging this. They're not gonna. They don't need like a one shot.
That's I wanted him to fuck up and have
just
the baby
just
kind of
boring.
Die.
But Baby Yoda is probably the only thing saving it for me.
I wonder if that's a Disney thing. That there's a mandate that it's got to have a happy ending every week.
Yeah, like watching Zorro or something.
Guy Hamilton. Who was it?
Hamilton, yeah.
Jake?
Yes.
What did you think?
It was all right. There are a bunch of really cool shots, especially towards like the second half when they...
Visually, it's a great show.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful shots. But yeah, it just kind of fell. It fell a little flat this time. The acting from the ex trooper.
She was. I don't know where we know her from.
Came across as a little flat.
Isn't she the chick from Deadpool, the wrestler?
Maybe.
Is it?
I think so.
The chick from Deadpool.
Yeah. The.
The girlfriend.
No, hold on. I'll look her up.
Yeah, I think she fell a little flat as a character and. Yeah, I don't know. It just there's.
Well, she must have a bigger role because she's in all the pictures. She's in all the pictures of the Mandalorian.
Maybe he's gonna have
Gina Carano.
Yeah, she was in Deadpool.
Partner now.
She's the girlfriend, right?
No, that's the girl from Firefly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She was the badass chick in Deadpool, the super strong one, who like mops the floor with Juggernaut or not Juggernaut.
Part one or part two?
Part one. Mops the floor with.
Use your words.
Quickly.
Fuck it. Forget it. Move on.
Okay. Anyway.
But yeah. I don't remember. Beautiful. Fell flat. I did like the AT-ST. AT-ST was pretty awesome.
Patrick.
I'm going to be different than everybody else. I fucking hated this episode.
Did you really?
It was so bad. They forced everything. Visually, I agree 100%. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Story content-wise, it was just they were forcing every situation, and it was bad.
You know what it was for me? I don't mind them doing... If you're going to do The Seven Samurai, it's a great story. We've all seen it, but you put a twist on it.
Do something different.
Just like I talked about Knives Out. You've seen that movie. You do it a little differently. You do something different with it. But they... And then, like we talked about them not having a set time... It seemed like this episode was shorter than it needed to be.
But it was longer than any other.
But yeah, it was like they really needed time to develop that with like if you wanted, like Justine said, if you want that relationship to have any kind of truth to it, you have to have some time. You have to have some
exactly
to develop stuff.
Or even just need time to be like to want to root for those people.
Yeah, and also give us some, hey, look, she's the only villager that can shoot a gun. What's your story?
Yeah, why?
What's your story?
Why, yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were going to go into that.
Two, like, focus on one relationship. Don't try and push two relationships and one whole thing. A friendship between him and Cara Dune and then the love relationship between the other one. Focus on one of them, either or, and develop that. Don't try and just be like, okay, he has feelings, he has friends, everybody wants him. Fuck it.
Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda is the Mandalorian's version of taking a puppy to the beach.
Yeah.
Everybody will just like you.
It'd be great if he's all chicks dig it.
Yeah, yeah.
I carry him around because chicks dig it. Yeah.
I just wanted, I agree with Justine. Like, it's too happy. Like, he needs to have, like, I thought for sure someone was going
to
die.
Cut to next week. And
I hope everybody's dead.
I honestly was like, if they kill him now, I will be so happy.
If they shot Baby Yoda episode 4.
I thought for sure, like, episode 4, Baby Yoda dead.
I'm like, fuck, right, this is like there. Game of Thrones now. Let's do it.
I would have thrown my hands up and be like, oh, best show ever. Exactly. Best show ever. To kill children.
At least shoot Baby Yoda and then have Baby Yoda do the freaking Kylo Ren thing from the Force and just stop the bolt. Like, that would have been crazy.
Stop the blaster shot.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's Disney. It's Disney, so I'm sure that's part of it. You know?
It's just...
Or they could have had the girl who was going to take care of him dive in front of it or something. I don't know.
There was a lot of like really good potential for this, and it's just kind of scrubbing right now. So,
yeah, I'm serious. You've seen the story done so much better.
So many times, and it's so much better.
A Bug's Life did it well. Like, you know, there's it did. The Three Amigos is great. I mean, there's...
So this is episode 3?
4.
No, 4. There you
I just don't believe like that love story at all. Like, why would he give up everything for
her? It doesn't make sense.
That didn't make any sense at all.
Jon Favreau should know better.
But Bryce Dallas Howard was the one that directed this one.
He doesn't know anyone.
Who's the writer? That's what it. Yeah. Who are the writers? Because whoever's writing it, that's where the problem seems to lie.
Right. They probably watched Seventh Samurai right before they started writing this. Right. Oh, that sounds like a good idea.
Well, they've had this like cowboy theme.
Yeah, and the cowboy, the samurai movies were all, you know, Kurosawa knocked off a lot of westerns. That's what his thing was. So, and then Leone kind of does it, his version of that too.
I'm waiting for their good, bad, and ugly episode. That'd be great.
Or do like Yojimbo, or they do Fistful of Dollars. You're gonna pit.
Gandhi!
Pit
I want him running around a little graveyard.
All running like that.
And two, my kind of issue is there isn't really.
What if he meets an old Mandalorian whose sister was killed and he has to help him, like, and he has like a chronometer and the chronometer plays music.
That'd be great.
Blondie!
And it plays Blondie.
Yeah. My other issue too is like they're continuing the story, so it's not. He starts and picks up right after the same episode, so it's a continuation. There's no overarching. Yeah, he's running for his life and stuff like that because they're tracking him and stuff like that. But there's no villain or evil that is really present and chasing them yet.
There's no hint at even.
Yeah, it's kind of like he's in a bad situation, but there's no real threat to him not making it.
And when people love these things, love these things the best, it's because things are going wrong.
Yeah.
Right up until the last possible moment, and then you pull it out of the hat.
I mean, that's why the first episode was cool, or the second episode where he, you know, gets slammed by the rhino and he's gonna die, and then Baby Yoda out of nowhere.
That was
just
great.
Like, fuck no.
That was a great one, because then they showed his power.
People want to see that.
He's like not doing well. There's a struggle. It was like Spider-Man being crushed by the building. There you go.
People love the underdog.
That's what we want to see.
You want give us some vulnerability.
Yeah. I want him to take off his mask and we see John Wick. That's what I want to see.
No, I'm okay with not seeing his face. I'm okay with not knowing his name. I'm okay with
winning all the time.
I want to see Jeff Goldblum.
They started off really well with that, where like he is not perfect, he is not supremely capable, he needs help, and it's just like this episode just seemed like a wash.
So who's writing this thing?
I don't know who wrote that one.
I could
look it up, but
in some cases you have to say, well, it's the writing. You know, people that were getting angry at Game of Thrones, well, it's the writing. It's not necessarily the direction or the acting, it's the writing. Somebody's making a decision, you know, to take these characters in a certain direction.
Hmm.
It says Jon Favreau.
Yeah, it's most of the reviews thought the episode was okay. They just said the show's playing it safe.
It is.
It's very safe.
Yeah. Too safe. Stop it.
Shoot the baby.
Wow.
Then again, Disney does play safe.
Even then, like, you know, let's say the bounty hunter shoots at Baby Yoda, misses, and kills the other girl. Like, creates some drama.
So Baby Yoda's just staring at him, and then it's this.
Ugh. Baby Yoda loses a foot. And he just...
Or even Baby Yoda, like, you know, diverts the shot somehow because because of his force powers.
And then they show
and then hits the other girl.
The view slit of the mask.
The first words out of Baby Yoda, Mando.
Like this, view slit.
Curse you, Mando.
Cut to hand on pistol.
The bad. The ugly.
I don't know. Like, I still have high hopes for it. Like, I want it to do well because it's really interesting. It's a cool world. It's fun.
Yeah, I think my thing is, it's like, show me. I want to see so much more of what the world is, the universe is like, or the galaxy is like, now that the Empire's crumbled.
Yeah, like, that was cool.
And it's like, I understand. It's basically they're doing post-Civil War America, right? Just like in all the Westerns, post-Civil War. Mm-hmm. I get it. It's a great setting for that.
Yeah, lawless.
But also kind of show us what's going on. You know, we've kind of seen hints of what's going on. I want to dive deeper into that galaxy.
Because we've seen what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your prediction for next episode is Yojimbo in space?
He's going to pit two
I think you're right.
factions.
I honestly think
another.
You're right.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've just seen so much of like the central part of the galaxy. Mm-hmm. And they started to do it.
This is,
and then this was kind of a diversion.
I mean, I understand
that
you're on a budget too. You can't be doing giant cityscapes.
But they're Disney.
That's true.
No, what does Disney say? If you're making $1 billion on the movies, you don't use that on the park or the TV shows.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to pull their weight.
Because mm-hmm.
I always thought that, geez, you're swimming in money, but it's like everybody's got to pull their own weight.
Yeah.
It's just a strong divergent from the first episode. Like, this was. The first episode had such great tone to it that
this felt like filler.
Yeah. Well, you're only four in, so you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's
every season has a bad episode or two, but it's hard to do. If this is the worst
one out of the bunch, I'm okay.
It's hard when you only have 8 episodes. It's like you want them all to be gold.
There's only going
to
be 8.
Yep, 8 for the first season. Yep, halfway through.
That's already,
guys,
and we're going nowhere.
You know what it's time for.
Before you say that, I just got one quick question. Has anybody watched The Irishman yet on Netflix?
None yes, yet. I did watch it.
What'd you think?
I did not like it as much as you did.
Wow. How about that?
My dad loved it.
The CGI was
aces.
Distracting for me.
It was. Because like for me, like after the first minute, I'm like, okay, I buy it.
And then because his eyes, I was doing Rosemary's Baby. I kept going,
What's wrong with his eyes? What have you done to his eyes?
What have you done to his eyes?
The story didn't grab you?
It was good. It was, it was very low key and very, they underplayed a lot of stuff. And I was expecting some of that Scorsese dynamism that I'm used to. So I think it might have been my own expectations.
Well, if you wanted Goodfellas, it wasn't wound up like
No. But it was, the performances were good. It was just, I kept getting distracted by the CGI, because it didn't seem like they needed to do it.
Well, they got to be younger, and the whole movie's told in flashbacks.
Yeah, but he wasn't that much. He wasn't so much younger that you were like, oh, they made him look like he did in Godfather 2.
I think because they're all pretty old looking. If you see what they look like these days, they're all really old looking. What'd you think of Pacino? Didn't you think he tore it up?
Pacino was great.
All those scenes of him as Hoffa.
Joe Pesci was great.
Yeah, and Pesci took it way down.
I loved it. I liked it. I didn't love it.
Yeah,
like you did. But I did like. I like the performances.
Did you sit in one sitting? Did you watch it in one sitting?
Yeah.
Great. Because people keep talking about, watch it in four. Here's where you cut it. You know, you watch it in four sittings.
Yeah, yeah. No, I enjoyed it, but I was hoping, I wanted it to blow me away. It didn't quite blow me away.
So maybe I oversold it.
I don't think it was that. I think it had issues.
Mm.
I can see why it premiered on Netflix. Let's just say it that way.
The sweep of what premiered at the Egyptian.
But you know what I mean. Yeah. But I see why it was released to Netflix.
The sweep of it. Well, because they financed it. He couldn't. The major problem was the money it was going to take to do the de-aging.
Yeah.
He said that was the major expense, that and getting the actors. So.
All right. Well, I mean, I enjoyed it.
Okay.
It's not bad. By any stretch. Mm. Is it my favorite Scorsese? No.
Mm.
But maybe I need to watch it again. But those eyes.
I love how it begins in the 40s and it ends right around Watergate.
Yeah.
You get the sweep of history is happening.
I love it. Yeah. I loved all the stuff with...
God, the whole thing with the Kennedy.
Yeah, I loved all that.
They just summed it up in about two sentences.
Well, the whole thing about...
It's like
about
you bit him on the...
Kennedy making money during the bootlegging and all that stuff. And all that stuff was actually... I mean, that's accurate. It's not... They weren't...
Oh, yeah. And then the whole thing about how he got in and then they felt burned. Anytime you've heard that sort of theory that the mob had rumped out, this one presented the best argument in about 2 minutes. Like, oh, yeah, they did this for him. He burned him. Of course.
I loved it.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Just curious.
Worth watching. Yeah. Definitely worth. Not terrible by any means. I'm not. I feel like I'm underselling it now. Mm. Definitely check it out, especially if you're a Scorsese fan. We'll probably end up watching it for the digital movie.
You know what's funny? I'll just add this. He said yesterday, it was in the news, he said, he was in some sort of press conference or something. He said, please, don't watch it on your phone. He says, an iPad even, but not your phone. Yeah.
Justine.
And I thought, Patrick. That's so funny. I wonder if Justine heard about that.
Well, that's not now the worst. It's going to happen.
The worst is when Patrick described to me what was happening.
Yeah, that is the worst. That's the one for all time. That's a great anecdote because people don't believe it.
It's true.
And people were razzing Scorsese. Somebody wrote, yeah, I'm watching it on my iPhone. It's got a cracked screen, too.
Well, Scorsese is getting a lot of heat. All the nerds are coming out against him because he talked about Marvel movies and how they're not real movies.
That's fine. You know, it's a tempest in a teapot. There's nothing to it. You know, he's welcome to his opinion. You know,
it happens. We see this happen over and over. It's a guy who was at once kind of the outlier.
Sure.
Once the, you know, hey, that's not the way you make a movie. Now he's telling people, hey, that's not the way you make a movie.
And he hasn't seen any of those Marvel movies. And I think they're heavier than he thinks they are.
Yeah.
He thinks there's no emotional resonance. And you watch something like The Winter Soldier, there's more going on. If he sat through like Iron Man and he thought that was it, you know, I think he doesn't realize there's a lot more going on in those movies.
And by the way, Chris Evans, Knives Out, fantastic in
Great.
Knives Out. Plays a really unlikable person in that movie.
It's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, he said he didn't like that. It was hard for him. Because he also did a play where he was hated and he would hear the audience and they wouldn't be on his side. And he's like, how do you go from being Captain America? He's like, I'm not used to that.
Yeah, he said
he played like Captain America for, what do you say, 8, 10 years or something?
But you know what?
Like, and the whole world is on his side.
Yeah, he's like, the world loved me and now I have people like,
but you
I
know
don't
what?
Like this feeling. He doesn't like the feeling.
He did a good job. He did a good job despite of it.
Yeah, he said it mentally like hurt his feeling. Like he just couldn't handle
well,
it.
Well, I guess he could take stock. He could take a little bit of solace in the fact that nobody in that movie is likable. There's like one likable character that you're rooting
for. That would probably make
it
feel better, but
there's two.
Because he said when he was in that one play, the one where he had that mustache and he looked like a weird, he was a cop.
He played a cop, yeah.
But he was playing like a dirty cop. So then he said he really wanted people to like side with him and it just wasn't happening with the audience.
Oh, no, of course. But
he tried really hard.
But that means he's a good actor. I mean, he's selling himself short as an actor because if he's being that, or it's a good part.
Yeah.
Obviously, because, you know, you can.
And some actors, it's like, that's what they want. If you can buy me as the good guy and then buy me as the bad guy.
Yeah.
You're doing
a
great job.
Of course.
But I saw the
poster.
That's
like Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a perfect example of that, you know.
Because you hated him in Inglorious Bastards, but you loved him in Django Unchained.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's that's
it's
great.
Very true. He's really good.
All right, here we go, guys. Are you ready? You know what it's time for, guys. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun,
da 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 da! Digital movies!
You're in the club! Guys, it's Digital Movie Club time. It's a portion of the show where we go through my personal digital movie collection. I share.
I love it. My!
I share with the younger generation.
It's my gift to the world.
I get it all the time. What? Are you guys going to watch this? Are you going to watch? That was like the number one movie of this. Is you watching all the Emmys? Like, what are you watching? The whole list of this and this?
Beautiful.
No, it's just my friend's digital movies.
Yep. Beautiful. I love it. So disappointed.
Yeah, we have to explain to people. Yeah, so
I get
these
it
are
all
movies
the time.
He owns. It's not like necessarily great movies or well-known movies.
No, no, no. They're
Some
all
of
great.
Them are.
They're all pretty great.
Well, I get the same thing, and what I'll say is it's a cross-section. You're not going to do every movie.
There's too
and,
many.
You know, so this is like our version of the AFI, I suppose, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's
this
my,
is the Mario my, the Criterion Collection.
My
Mario
personal
collection.
Movies that I've decided Curated. Are worth my money.
That's right.
And so let's put That's it that right. way. So guys, we it's common. I feel like this is the first movie that feels like an 80s movie.
Yeah. Looks like an 80s
there's
movie.
One, there's one. And then there's one that's a throwback that I feel was also awesome. And I feel as...
How
like
old
forgot-
was that one, though? Because that one felt really old.
And they did a good job.
It's 82.
It's a forgotten 80s movie. They were released the same year.
But it was set in the 50s.
A forgotten classic.
54.
If I may say so, guys. Which one would you like to tackle first, guys? Do you want to...
You want to start with Ridgemont?
You want to start with Ridgemont?
Fast Times.
All right, let's start. We're going to talk about the old Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Universal Pictures presents everything you always wanted to do in high school with everyone you always wanted to do it with.
Hey, bud, let's party.
They're the students of Ridgemont High. Brad Hamilton, the fast food king.
I shall serve no fries before their time.
It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
Mister, if you don't shut up, I'm going to kick 100% of your ass.
Charles Jefferson. A man with a mission.
Oh, gnarly.
Linda Barrett. Not exactly the girl next door.
Awesome. Totally awesome.
And Jeff surfs up Spicoli.
People on lewds should not drive.
That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
See Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
By the way, guys, this is our first, I believe this is our first film directed by a woman, Amy Heckerling. So our first female director, Amy Heckerling. Fast Time at Ridgemont High, of course, it is from 1982. Let's find our IMDb page. I was quick on the trailer that time, not so quick on the stats of Fast Times at Ridgemont High. 78% on Rotten Tomatoes, and IMDb gives it 7.2 out of 10. I feel that's pretty fair.
Yeah.
I feel that's fair. The screenplay was written by Cameron Crowe, well-respected. You know, you later on would do Jerry Maguire and do Almost Famous. And was a writer for Rolling Stone. And these are based on his high school, some of his high school.
Well, he went back undercover. He had graduated high school. He was writing for Rolling Stone as a high schooler. He got out of school early and was writing as a staff writer for Rolling Stone. He was still in high school. He was a teenager. But for this, he wrote a book. And for the book, he went back to high school undercover. He looked so young, he was able to fit in. And for a year, he just posed as one of the students. He was already past high school age, but he could pass. And nobody figured it out. And so he wrote about all his experiences undercover in high school for a year.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
So I guess it was a book before it was a screenplay. I've never read the book, but I guess this was him writing a screenplay on his book.
Yeah, it was spent a year secretly embedded at Claremont High School.
Shit, that's my high school.
San Diego, California.
Oh, it's not.
Under an assumed name.
I went to
gather stories for a nonfiction book.
Not in San Diego.
Crowe's book was published in 1981, and it was adapted for the screen. All right? How about... Crowe based the geeky rat, then Claremont High School student, Andy Rathbone. Rathbone eventually became rich and famous for writing many of the books for dummies. How about that?
That's cool.
How about, Look Who's Talking, Clueless, Fast Times at Ridgemont High director, Amy Heckerling. Talk about it.
She directed Clueless?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great movie.
Is it?
Yes.
I've never seen it.
You're not missing much.
Is that in your...
Yeah, she kisses her brother.
Is that in your...
Kisses Clueless?
No, we're not.
You're like, no.
It's... what is Clueless based on? I forgot. It's a...
It's got Paul Rudd.
Based on Paul Rudd.
It's a Jane Austen novel.
It's Paul Rudd.
Like Pride and Prejudice or something.
let's talk about it. Justine, what did you think of this? Let's talk about it. This is a huge. Well, let's set the table for them, John. Let's set the scene. And this is a huge movie.
Mm-hmm. You saw it when it came out, right?
I saw it a few months later on, I think, cable on TV or something.
But contemporary. Had you seen it, Justine? Yeah.
Some.
I've only seen her jump into the pool.
How about you guys?
Never.
I'd seen it a few times.
This was quoted a lot by couple of kids at school. Yeah. I got the ultimate set of tools.
I can fix it.
I can fix it. I got the ultimate set of tools. What are you people on dope?
And of course, you dick. I was thinking it's our time, Mr. Han.
I love it.
The great Ray Walston. You know what he said? He said, finally, he said, when kids started yelling across the street, "Hey, Mr. Hand," he said, finally, they don't yell Uncle Martin or the Martian.
The Martian, know? Yeah, my favorite Martian.
So he says, now he's like, great, they got a new one they can yell.
Mr. Hand. Mr. Hand. You're wasting my time, Mr. Spicoli.
Mr. Hand.
All right, let's start with Justine. What did you think?
It was just cool to see Judge, what's his name again? Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold.
Reinhold?
Yeah.
I've never seen him in that kind of a role where he's cool. Normally, he's always like this, like, no, but usually in the other movies I've seen him in, they're always making fun of him.
Like,
he's like a goody
cop.
Goody. And like,
yeah.
Like in the Santa Claus movies, you always hated him. Like,
yeah, he always plays kind of a dweeb.
Yeah, Beverly Hills Cop, he's like, a dork too. Yeah.
Like, you're just like, okay, this guy.
And this one, he's the big man on campus.
He's like, yeah, and he's normally playing like that dad that you're embarrassed about. Yeah. Like, that's who he is usually.
And he does get a nice little moment. He is a good brother. I mean, he's kind of a, you know.
He's a great brother.
He's a great brother because he helps his sister out.
It made me really want a brother. The whole time I watched it, I'm like, man, I've always wanted a brother. I forgot about that. And now I'm just... I'm so bummed I never had one.
Your friends use the pool too.
they sure give him a happy ending. That's the greatest ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like just seeing him like that, it was pretty, like I was happy for him watching it. I was like, cool, you weren't always a dweeb. Like, you weren't always this bad dad. You were cool in high school. Like people thought you were so cool and you can give him a job and... Yeah.
I can't sit over there, Bronco Burgers.
What is Bronco Burgers' secret sauce? Ketchup and mayonnaise.
It's all, Thousand Island. Of course.
I don't really know if there was much of a story to this.
No, it's all little.
No, not at all.
Story. It's a bunch of little incidents. Vignettes, yeah.
I didn't really like their nice guys finish last kind of theme happening there with that little kid.
With the rat?
God, I love that scene when they're...
With Mark, with Brian.
I love that scene when they're in the restaurant and they look too small. Like the tables
are really high.
Oh, yeah, the chairs. It's so bad.
And it's the worst place they could have gone, you know, German themed.
But I love how, like, they just kept ordering food just to stall.
Yeah, I'll have another Coke, please.
And like she comes 20. Back and they just leave.
It's like 20 Cokes. Oh, and God, the guy who plays... what's his name? I can't think of his name right now.
Mike? Damone.
Oh, man.
Little Dick. Mike Robert Romanus.
Oh,
Little Prick.
He's the worst.
God.
I liked him, actually.
What?
Oh, of course. The women
love
him.
I watched, I was like, oh, my God, I love this guy.
Of course.
But then...
in real life, that's the kind of guy women love.
Yeah. I really liked him.
You need the cheap trick tickets? I can get you the tickets. I mean, the whole...
Yeah.
And then in real life, women, that's what happens. It's like, hey, he's kind of cute, and then of course that's what happens, they burn him.
It was funny. It was so weird to see Forrest Whitaker though, like that.
Yeah,
because I'm like, holy shit. Yeah.
So
holy
young.
Shit, it's Forrest Whitaker.
He's huge.
So and he's young. Still like this badass.
Still, so I'm like, I love when he's just murdering all the players from Lincoln, because that was such a great way to cover the car.
I love his brother's like, better watch out, my brother's gonna kill you. Like,
he's
is he gonna
take
kill
a
me
shit and
gonna
kill
take
me
a shit?
Well, which is it, is he gonna shit or is he gonna kill us?
So
both.
Fucking Spicoli.
Did you guys recognize Nick Cage?
Nicholas
Cage was in this?
He's barely
he's
in
one
it.
Of the grill guys. At,
really?
At the,
oh, yeah. I did see his face.
No
and
lines.
Then I saw him under cast. I'm like, oh, yeah.
He's still going by Nicholas Coppola.
Yeah, he's in there.
He's like Coppola's nephew.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like I don't think he even gets a line, does he?
Yeah, he's in the back, like, working the grill, but yeah.
That's great.
He went up for Brad, but he was too young. They said, we need somebody who's, they said if he's seven, he was like 17, and they said... He's good, but we got to have somebody who's older than 17 or else because it's reduced work hours. It's going to be tougher to put him in all those scenes if he's 17 because you can't work a full day, you know.
At least we finally understand where Keanu Reeves based Bill and Ted off of.
Yeah.
Spicoli.
For real.
Pretty much.
It's the exact for real. Same.
Radical.
Dude. Huh.
Dude, Sean Penn. Whatever you think about Sean Penn now. As a person, everything, politically, whatever. He's so awesome in this role. Yeah. And I went to school with people like this guy. Mm-hmm. Jeff Spicoli was a real person in Southern California
of
in the
course.
1980s.
Oh, yeah, everywhere. He's for sure real. He's
and
still
he,
real.
And he said he knew people like that. He said, this is why I was able to do it, because I knew people like that. Mm-hmm. So he just completely... And they said it was like method acting. They said he only answered to Spicoli. He put Spicoli on his dressing room door. At home, when they called him, they said, you got to call me. So he really got into it. You know?
He stayed in character the whole time.
So even then, he was like, you know, method actor, you know.
That's my skull.
I met a Spicoli about a year ago. My sister took surfing lessons.
I went to high school with a bunch of them.
And he's like, how do you like your job? He's like, living the dream, dude. Yeah. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Dude, I went to high school with him.
Yeah. So evidently it hasn't changed much. No. If you're a surfer, that's what you sound like.
And he's wearing checkered Vans, so there you go, man. That all comes full circle.
And then it was crazy to see Vincent Schiavelli.
Schiavelli?
Oh, as the teacher.
Oh, because I only know him from Ghost. So I was like, or not Ghost. Yeah, Ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was a ghost, but
Mr. Vega? Is it Mr. Vega?
Yeah, Mr. Vargas.
Mr. Vargas. Vargas, yeah. Vargas is going to pull. Did they really, John? Did you have to go see a cadaver?
No. I was thinking there must have been schools that did, but we didn't.
We did. We cut open a frog.
Yeah, most people just cut open a frog.
Yeah.
By our time, we
they had a monkey in a cage.
I know. What were we going to say? Justine, I'm sorry, we cut you off.
Oh no, he just was still creepy looking.
He's got an odd looking head.
I finally saw him in a role where he's just a human, and it's still.
And he's got a hot wife. Good for him.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that was hilarious.
This is Mrs. Vargas. Dude.
It's great to see. It was always great to see. Jennifer Jason Leigh
does
such a good job in
this
movie.
Good.
And just adorable. Yeah. And
she's great.
She's really great good. Really.
Yeah. You know, very desperate.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I mean,
I would say corny.
Who isn't in high school?
In high school,
it's probably every true. Teenager. You're trying to figure it out. You know.
Yeah.
Well, because
then Phoebe's such like an instigator.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing it. I mean, if you just do it another time, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
It won't hurt if you keep doing it.
But then you find out she doesn't really have a boyfriend. Her life isn't as perfect as you think it is.
You kind of want like more from her storyline, and there really isn't much there.
Yeah.
It's almost like what's his name, like Nashville kind of deal, where you get a little bit of everybody.
Everybody, yeah.
I don't know. I didn't watch Nashville.
Yeah.
And I heard
well, there's certainly no Phoebe Cates in Nashville. There's no bikini scene.
The most rewound scene of the 80s.
So what you said, I was watching a behind the scenes thing, and Amy Heckerling said, yeah, she heard that from everybody, that every video didn't track right because people were like putting on a pause and slow-mo.
And rewinding it.
And she said there was not a copy of that didn't have a tracking problem right when she comes out of the pool.
Yep. Doesn't anybody knock anymore?
God. I was like, what a nerd.
Well, it's his own house, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
But he should lock the door.
How about lock the door if you're gonna rub one out?
Huh? You want the Van Halen tickets? I got 2 for $20, my man.
He was my favorite
Just
character.
Like,
he's so fun. He's such a funny character.
Oh, he's so cute.
There
he's a
pop collar.
Fucking scumbag.
But that's what happened in high school.
But when she was falling in love, when the girl was her name again?
You want the tickets? I'll get you the tickets.
When Jennifer was falling in love with him, I was like, yeah, I get it. Way better than the nice guy.
But you know he's going to burn her. You know, he just knew he's going to be an asshole.
Yeah, but she tried the nice guy and it wasn't working. So. Mm.
But then
and
later
he was
on,
trying to do the right thing and get the money. She
Mike was a
two and it was kind of sweet.
Chump.
No, he was trying to get the money, and then when he couldn't, he just said fuck it and dipped out like an asshole instead of manning up and saying, hey, I can't get you the money right away.
And then her brother came and was like,
yeah.
Dude,
oh
I love
my
that
god,
scene.
The brother was the sweetest.
There is no redemption for
I wish
him.
I had
he's
a brother.
A dick.
I love that scene because he's just all, are you hungry? Like,
I know.
He's just like, that's such a great moment.
Yeah.
I loved him.
He's just trying to be a good
he's
brother.
He's like, you want to tell me who it is? No.
Okay. Like, he's like, okay.
Yeah.
He's like,
your
fine,
secret.
It'll be your secret.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Because he could have, like, said, I'll go kick his ass or whatever. Yep. And he's like, hey, you know what? That's the way you want to deal with it. That's fine. Like, that's a great. That's what always throws me out this movie. It just seems like it's going to be a bunch of just stoner jokes. And then there's, like, this whole.
He's the one that is going to be an adult, you know? Some of these guys are kind of like regressing. And he's the one that's already well on his way to really being an adult, you know?
Yeah, he has a
but I love
job.
This, I also love the scene where he's flirting with a girl that he doesn't realize he has the pirate costume.
And you know who that is? I just figured this out. After all these years, the girl in that car that's laughing at him is Nancy Wilson from Heart.
Is it really?
And she went on to marry Cameron Crowe. He's still married to her.
Wow.
I wonder if that's where they met.
Maybe.
Yeah, because they've been married for years. And that. So I'm looking at the credits and I'm going, my God, that's Nancy Wilson from Heart.
Wow. Barracuda.
Yeah. Barracuda.
Patrick, what did you think of this one?
It was a lot of fun. I saw a lot of my high school friends in this.
Yeah.
I felt like
yep.
I could relate to a lot of it. I don't agree with Justine liking that guy.
Damone, it's Damone.
Damone is the worst.
If there's a nice guy and then there's that kind of a guy,
okay, so
who
being,
are you going to like?
Being the nice guy in high school, that guy's an asshole. And the nice guy knows that guy's an
Listen,
asshole.
In high school, girls would like that guy, but the guys would go, what a douchebag.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the way it works. Car.
But
that's
he's so charming.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but that's what I do love about Phoebe Cates' character. She's like, all right, let's get this guy. Like
that, she's so good in this movie. She's just like, no, it's not fucking okay. We're doing this.
Yeah. I love that she's like, she didn't turn on her. Like, you were waiting for that relationship to go
no,
bad.
No, she was
like,
really
nope,
sweet.
I got you. Like, yeah. She let her down a horrible path. But then when it went sour, she's like, I got you. I'm like here for you.
Yeah,
you
know?
Yeah. I do like
prick
that.
On
I
just prick wish on they had. And,
yeah.
I just wish they showed more of her background.
I mean, her story was really interesting.
Yeah.
I think that was just sort of the pretty girls don't always have it as easy as you think kind of a thing, and then it kind of left it at that. But
it was
not a lot to explore there.
It was nice because you got to kind of just do like nice dips into, you know, different groups from high school and how they acted. And
that's
stuff like
right.
That.
All the
it
clips.
Was really cool. It was a nice touch.
You know what? It is a nice scene in that too. Is when Damone brings the nerdy guy over and they dance. They go in the pool with Phoebe Cates. Mm-hmm. She doesn't do the typical pretty girl thing. Where she's like, ew, I don't want to hang out with you. They're just like, okay. They're just all kind of hanging out. Like, I kind of like that. Like, there's not a lot of... They avoid a lot of cliches that kind of will spring up later because of this movie. You know what I mean?
There's right.
This is the Pearl Jam of...
Well, they said Cameron Crowe was on the set, and she said he was the go-to guy because his whole thing was... He wanted to keep it real. Like, the book was about avoiding cliches. This is the way kids really are. And it was kind of, like, scandalous at the time.
Because
they go, wow, kids talk like that, and they do drugs, and they have sex. Yeah. It's like, that's the way kids really are.
And it's, too, like, it's a good point. Like, you know, you didn't get, like, the cliques separating.
Yeah.
So, like, in a lot of high school movies, you see that, you know, the jocks are with the jocks, the nerds are with the nerds. This was a better picture of, like, everybody's friends with everybody. Like,
or
we
you,
goes
you
all
at
the way
least
around.
Know certain
exactly.
people.
Exactly. Like, other... Spicoli's hanging out with the football player's brother, and then he's also, like...
Yeah, because they got high together,
exactly.
So of course they're going
to
hang
so,
out.
So, like, it made a lot more sense to me as far as this is a better high school movie.
And by the
than
way, when you want to do your 80s costume, watch the beginning scenes where they're at
the mall.
The Glendale Gallery. I think they're at the Sherman Oaks Gallery.
So
that is exactly the way the 80s looked.
Well, how about when she goes, how many Pat Benatar lookalikes we got this year? Well, we got four. We got her.
Yeah, that was
her,
so funny.
Her with the headband and the leggings and her with the stripes.
When I started high school a few years after this, it's exactly what everybody looked like still.
Yeah. The Pat Benatar.
Yeah. Look. The leotards, the whole thing. Jake, you had seen this because your mom's a huge 80s fan.
Absolutely.
Do you like this movie as much?
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It kind of brings you back to high school where everyone's just doing bad shit and trying not to get caught.
Yep.
Ordering pizza.
Yeah, ordering pizza during class, getting high, all that.
Showing up
so,
late.
Yeah.
There was a long line at the snack machine.
I love that no matter what he throws at him, Mr. Hand always has a he's always got like a response.
Honestly, the only part that was really unbelievable in this movie was Mr. Hand showing up at his house afterwards.
No, I could believe that.
I couldn't.
That was too cheesy.
He seems like the guy.
He
who
seems
would go
like
out
a teacher who would go out of his way to do that.
I had a teacher just like that who was like, you know, locked the door when, you know, like looking at the clock. The minute the bell stops, that's it. You'd better be in your
like that
your
part.
Seat.
I get it. Was just like him showing up after school after graduation. That's the part I was like, I've never seen that before. But I mean, everything else, I was like, yeah, that legit could happen.
Yeah.
Mister, you've wasted my time. Now you owe me
8 hours. I love that. And I'm generous, Spicoli.
Jake, is there anything you? Is there anything that you... How old were you when you first saw this movie?
I don't remember. I was probably early teens.
Were you old enough to appreciate the Phoebe Cates scene?
Were you alone when you first saw the Phoebe Cates scene?
No.
Did you lock the door?
Did you have your first boner?
No.
What is this?
Not my first.
First boner.
What's happening? Why am I?
Mom, what's happening?
Why am I faint?
I was early teens, and it's a good movie.
John,
we made Jake
you saw this
awkward.
In theaters?
Yeah. It was funny
then.
I probably did get a boner watching it, but you know.
Probably everything gave you a boner at that time.
Yeah.
Underdog.
And you see Pauly Purebred. Sweet Pauly Purebred.
Hey, those nuclear power plants on the way to San Diego.
You see
nice.
That girl on that shampoo bottle? Hot damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
For an entire generation, it was 1 million BC.
Yeah, that's it.
You're watching, we always joke about that. You're watching for the dinosaurs, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah. It's when I first started looking at the Sears catalog, and I wasn't going directly to the toy section. That's when I was
going to the lingerie
section. Hey, there's lingerie here. lady wearing grandma underwear. Let me check that out.
No, it was funny when it came out. It's still funny. Now it's a time capsule.
I mean, David really Beckham's is. Underwear section is great. Oh, God.
And John.
So what is it now? 45 years later? 46?
35.
35. Yeah. That's a long time. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when it came out, I'd been out of high school for 2 years, and I still recognized all those people. Yeah. Like, yeah, there's that guy. There's that guy.
There's that yeah. dude. Yeah.
No, I nailed it. Kind of like Dazed and Confused. It just kind of nails it.
Who was the guy that got your tickets at your school?
Oh, there's always somebody like that. That's the thing. There's the surfer dude. There's the tickets guy. There's you know, there's the jocks. There's the assholes. Yeah. Yeah.
They all fall into there.
Everybody. Right? And, you know, it's probably going, that's the same going all the way back. When you watch American Graffiti, they're all archetypes, you know. Yeah. You got the bookworm. You got the greaser. You got so. And that's, Dazed and Confused really nailed it because that takes place in 76. I was still in high school. So that really nailed it.
That was, yeah.
Every one of those. Are we going to see Dazed and Confused?
I think so.
Because that one, especially the music, just nails it. That was exactly the high school experience. So yeah.
Getting older, and I stay the same.
This was in between our high school experience. Let's rank Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Are you word vomiting?
Let me tell you what happened. I slept for 2 hours last night.
That's a lot of sleep for you.
I'm running on 2 hours.
Ooh, that's awful. A lot
for you. I'm
that's
like Jackson good. Brown, running on two.
Running
hours.
On empty.
Running on 2 hours of sleep. John. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Where do you rank it?
I give it 7.5.
Perfect. Jake?
I'll agree at 7.5.
Justine? Damone's
I give it a 6.
Even with Damone?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why it gets a 6.
There wasn't really like a story. So
it seemed like you liked it more than Casablanca, which has a great story. And get you in the
hey,
six.
What if he was in Casablanca? Yeah, get
yeah
your,
this had
tickets
no
the
story.
Plane.
You should
have. Hey, I got your.
Yeah, that's funny. Like
I got your letters of transit right here.
You go for the asshole in this movie, and yet you skip out on the asshole in Casablanca.
Let me get this straight. I know. Bogart creeps you out because of his smile, but you'll go for this guy.
She likes to look at this asshole.
Hey, but Elsa, you'll go for the scumbag.
Elsa, check this out. I got the two letters of transit.
I mean, I dated a scumbag in high school.
I got two letters of transit signed
by General
I've had
so many guys go up to me and be like, I hate your boyfriend. I'm like, oh, I love him.
Why'd you date a scumbag?
I don't know. Wait, I liked him.
To be contrary.
Everyone thought he was a dick, and I was like, oh, I love him.
Was he?
Well, now I have to date him.
He's very confident. He's a very confident
guy. I'm not asking you that.
What? That's the trick, is that girls go, hey, he's kind of confident. Yeah. And guys are like, no, he's an asshole.
Is he a dick?
Is he a dick? Yeah, he was a dick.
Was he a dick to you?
He was a dick to me, yeah.
So then why did you stay with him?
Because I still loved him.
But you ended up with a good guy, which is Patrick. So in the end, the lesson
who's
is...
still a dick.
In the end, who gets the girl?
So you,
questionable.
The good guy.
So you basically had your Damone in high school, and now you're going out with the guy that works at the movie theater.
The rat.
Yeah. Well, she went from big dick to small dick.
What?
Just little dick.
Jesus.
Just...
The other guy was a major dick. This is.
I wouldn't say Patrick's an angel, though. I would say Patrick's like the mid between, because I've dated a nice guy, and between a nice guy and a dick, Patrick's like in the middle there.
Yeah.
Because you don't want a nice guy. You also don't want a guy who's a complete dick, so.
Why don't you want a nice guy? Explain this to me.
Because I wouldn't say Patrick's the nicest guy, because we fight, which makes it fun. Otherwise.
So it's like sport for you. The most dangerous game.
Matt is the most dangerous.
Why would you stay in a relationship where they're like, yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, obviously, really?
You don't want a doormat.
You agree with me on everything, really?
No, but you can.
It's boring.
Yeah, how can I agree with you on everything? You're wrong all the time.
We're so bored.
You're Sandy wrong all
we
the fucking time.
We don't agree on music. We don't agree on movies. Like, it's just fun.
There you go.
Nope.
God, so bad.
Sandy and I agree on a lot of most things.
Fucking save me,
and we're
please.
Fine.
Yeah.
I would just be so bored. I just can't deal with someone who agrees
you get sparks.
With me the whole
if you disagree on some things,
time.
You get sparks. Right?
Nicole and I disagree on just enough stuff that it
they
keeps
get
it
sparks.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It keeps it interesting.
Yeah.
And then you agree on enough that they got your back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We agree on stuff that we want the other person to agree on. That yeah. we're like, okay, it's perfect. Yeah. You know what I mean? But
yeah. She doesn't like Casablanca.
So when we find things that we both like, it's like, ooh.
And then what? you can appreciate it.
We agree on this shit.
Exciting.
You can appreciate it.
What's something that you both like? And you both agree that you like.
I don't know. Like on the way here, we were listening to a podcast, and normally I'm listening to something, and he has headphones on. Then he took off his headphones and started listening.
It was this podcast, okay?
Yeah. And then he starts listening with me, and we're both laughing about it.
It was
like,
this show. It was last week, for sure.
And I'm like, oh, look, it's something that we enjoyed.
Oh, that's nice.
That sounds like a nice moment.
Yeah, but otherwise, we disagree on a lot of things.
Like how long to spend at the bookstore.
Let me read from my book.
Your relationship consists of arguing and nice moments.
And nice there moments.
Because
nice
we appreciate
moments.
It.
Yeah, I mean, and the funny thing, too, is like the stuff we fight about is not like... We don't get into huge arguments, and the biggest argument we ever have is about food.
Food. It's always
what
food.
The fuck are we going to eat?
Well, then you're lucky.
Yeah.
You're lucky.
Then someone gets hangry, and this someone one. Doesn't make up their mind.
This one.
And then it just gets worse.
This one.
Hmm. I see.
Seeing if a nice guy, they would have been like... Hey. Oh, well, then I'll make you something, and then hey, I hope you like it, and then you'll be like, okay, well, I'll like it then.
No, because you make it for her, and she's like, I don't like it.
I mean, you made it, so...
Meanwhile, your high school boyfriend's like, I know you're allergic to sushi, but that's what I feel like.
No, my high school boyfriend, he's like, we're splitting this evenly the whole time, right?
Oh, fuck.
Our whole relationship was splitting everything evenly.
That's awesome. I might be on board with this guy.
You see, he wasn't a jerk. He wanted you guys to be partners.
And the thing I loved about him is if someone said something and he didn't agree with it, they would just keep arguing, and he'd always win, and I love that.
Mm.
But he was a dick.
Wait, stop.
Because you like a winner.
Stop. Would he always win for real?
Yeah,
or
he'd
would
win.
He just argue till the other person just went?
He'd win.
It's not worth it.
That's not winning. That's someone giving
that's
up because it's not worth it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Would he just grind the other
winning
person
winning is
down?
Taking someone else's opinion and be like, okay, I see your point. That makes sense. I agree. Versus the other person just saying, fuck this shit, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's not winning.
No, he would always throw like facts in their faces and like, yeah.
No, that's just being
a
douche.
A dick.
Well, you know, that's why all my guy friends hate him.
We need
him.
To have this guy on the podcast. That's only.
And who was this guy, Justine?
Nah, bring him. He's a lawyer now. So.
Oh,
of course he is.
It makes sense,
of
right?
Of course he is.
He's a lawyer for the White
House.
A Trump administration lawyer.
Is it called a DA?
And his name?
Shit. He's a DA.
He's a DA.
And his name was Rudolph Giuliani.
Because he was telling me, last time I met up with him, he was like, yeah, if cops pull me over, like, I don't have to show my ID because I just
that's
tell him
that's fucking bullshit.
I was like, damn.
That's privilege.
Okay.
No man is above the law.
No.
And that man is Devin
Nunes. I am above the law!
If there's one thing we've learned from
when
this
he
podcast.
Said that, I was like, yeah, there it is. He's
and
a
his
dick.
Name is Devin.
Wait. When was the last time you met up with him?
Like
last
around
week?
The time you and I
ago,
first started dating
ago?
Or something.
No, I thought it was like
not
two
like
years
in
ago.
2009.
How did Patrick feel about that?
I don't care. What am I worried about?
No, that was years ago. Like, yeah, like in 2009.
She grew out of that phase.
How was he? How was he when you met up again? I'm fascinated by this.
Oh, he was just showing off all the stuff he's done, his cars, and
he's a fucking asshole. God, who wants that?
In the words,
he's
of,
definitely a dick. He's just this huge, just he's just a dick.
He's a dick
words,
and a tool.
In the words,
and everyone always asks me, why are you still with
and
him?
You're all,
I got
and you're
that all
get
the time.
Sued now because he's a DA.
Yeah, we're freaking screwed.
Well, she didn't say his name.
No, I can't. I would never say his name.
In the words of what?
In the words of Henry Jones Sr., intolerable.
But he is a counsel to the White House.
Yeah, Rudolph.
Inconceivable.
Julian.
Yeah, he's an ass.
Inconceivable.
All right.
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
What did you? What do we rank? You ranked it a 6,
mm-hmm.
Patrick?
It's a 7. It's fun.
7.
It's probably the best high school movie I've seen.
Mm.
I'm gonna give it a 7. Mm.
Yeah, it's better than it's the most realistic high school movie you've ever seen.
But does that mean
it's better
the
than
best?
It's better than 16 Candles? Mm. It's better than you know freaking all.
You know
that
why?
Shit.
Because all like Porky's and all that. It's an adult's idea of what how kids talk.
Yes.
And this was like no, I was there, and that's why it rings true. This is the way kids
this
talk.
This felt real.
Yeah. Mm. Because most high school movies, it's an adult saying, wouldn't it be funny if this kid came off with this wisecrack? But that's not the way kids talk. This movie feels like it's the way kids
exactly.
talk.
Exactly. Yeah. And this shit is funny because yeah. this is real. Like, this yeah. is what happened. This is how kids acted. This is real.
And that's from a year of research, so it feels real.
I totally, totally get it.
All right. I go 7 on this one.
Yeah, it's solid.
You know what's funny? Universal's got a perfect track record for not wanting to release movies that become smash hits.
American Graffiti
and Animal House. And this one, it was all Universal, and each time they said, I don't know, what's this about? People aren't going to get it. This is weird. There's no stars. And every time out, it made huge money. You know, so all they're always wrong. Somehow the movie gets out, and it makes a bundle. So
and there's two
Animal
stars,
House,
huge ones that came out of this.
Yeah, exactly. And nobody knew them. These were unknowns. Everybody in this movie was an unknown until they were talking to the casting director, and he said, it's amazing. Every one of these people went on to have a career. Yeah, so... Good old Universal. They're always like, I don't know. And then it goes on to make just millions.
All right, guys, we're moving on. It's time for another the flip side of the comedy coin.
Well, you couldn't find a movie that a comedy that's more different than Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
So different.
Take it back.
And so great.
It was 1954. Television was live. And Benji Stone landed the job of his dreams as a TV comedy writer. Alice, what are we seeing?
Dimebag!
It was the year Hollywood's greatest hero swashbuckled his way onto live TV and into Benji's life.
He's blasted!
Good God, it's Renfield.
I thought he was dead.
Swan better be at every rehearsal sober, or it's your neck.
They've asked me to stay with you and help you over some of the rough spots.
Like showing up.
That's one. Another is not passing out.
What sort of heroic idiot am I this time?
A musketeer idiot.
I read that on the airplane. Very funny. Very good.
I wrote that.
Did you? Bravo, Stan. Bravo.
Hello, the Stork Club. We'll be two for dinner.
Oh, no, Mr. Swan. This is exactly the way it started last time.
I'm supposed to watch you.
Good, watch this.
All I have to do is to get from here to there. I'm going down now. Oh, have a nice.
5 minutes to air.
This is places, people.
Sure, this is live television.
Live.
What are you doing?
Drinking and leaving.
They're telling you the whole movie in this.
I know.
Seriously.
That was literally the whole movie.
The only part they're not giving you is the gangster part.
Boss.
Flesh and blood, life size, no larger. I'm not that silly damned hero I never was.
To me, you were. You couldn't have convinced me unless you had that courage.
This is in the trailer?
Nobody's yes. that good an actor.
I know, the big monologue. Actor,
yeah.
Jesus.
I'm not an actor. I'm a movie star.
Damn.
Alan Swan may have been the worst person to look up to, but it was the best time Benji ever had.
Smuckers.
It's 30 years for this.
My favorite year.
That was literally the Smuckers guy.
With a name like Smuckers, it's got to be good jam.
Wasn't that guy on like Lou Grant or something?
He was Mason Adams.
Yeah.
God, that voice. Yeah.
Smuckers, boy,
it's good jam.
You talk about it. I was just watching this movie this time. Now that we've watched Lawrence of Arabia, I always love this movie, but I was really paying attention. And Peter O'Toole,
he's the greatest.
Nominated for best actor for this role.
He's the greatest. He's so great.
This feels like a lost Mel Brooks movie to me.
Well, he produced it.
And it's based on an incident in his life.
That's right.
Where he had to... apparently nothing that close.
They had Errol Flynn on, but it was nothing like this happened. There was no... But basically, Benji, is probably like the Mel Brooks guy because he was the junior writer and all that.
96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Great.
In October 8th, 1982. This is one of John's favorite movies.
And yours too.
Directed by Richard Benjamin.
You and I used to quote this all the time. Yeah. I think the one you love is that you mean it just goes spilling out into people's homes?
That's what I say about spills out into people's houses. Okay, who had not seen this aside from me and John? Let's start with Jake. All hands are up.
It was so much fun. It's so funny. Peter O'Toole is just such a fantastic character.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's just a washed-up movie star who's just...
Has a fun time being drunk.
Just has a great time being drunk. And, oh, my God, with him and... What is his name? Benji?
Yes.
Right? Him and Benji going around. Just his admiration for him just got him into so many terrible situations. Just out of admiration for him.
And it works because Benji's a likable kind of character. Yeah. He's like this young writer. He's, you know...
And wants to be liked.
He wants to be liked.
Yeah.
He's funny, but he idolizes him, you know?
Yeah. Well, he is like a little kid.
He really is.
And what was that scene where they're dragging him up the stairs, like, doom, doom.
Oh, he's doing Tchaikovsky. He's doing Tchaikovsky. The 1812 Overture.
Sandy and I laughed like idiots watching that part. It was so stupid.
He's just so charming even when he's drunk.
So great.
This is for ladies only.
So is this, Mom?
Sometimes it has to leak.
I think my favorite in the whole movie is, yeah,
I have to run some water through it every once in a while.
I think my favorite, I love the scene. I love that Selma Diamond,
who passed away,
she was famous on Nightcore, but so I love that scene where he's proposing to her in the bathroom and she's just, you just hear her voice in the stall going,
God.
Oh my God,
I'm coming out.
What is happening? So you enjoyed it?
It was a ton of fun, especially the scene where Benji took him to his mom's house.
Yes, that's what that's what reminds me of a Mel Brooks movie. Yeah.
Swanee's a river.
Oh no,
Justine, I totally I am expecting Filipino pork and beans at our next
parakeet.
Weird.
Why? Why was it weird?
That's just weird. I don't know. It was weird.
She gives it a 5 because that part was weird.
You didn't like Rookie Karoka?
That's so weird. It was because when they first said it, they're like, from the Philippines? I'm like, what? And then I had to like just rewind it just to make sure I was reading this right.
Yeah. Well. Rookie. And he kind of had to talk like John Wayne a little bit.
Yeah, his weird accent. I'm like, is he supposed to be Filipino? And I just couldn't really tell, and I had to just kind of rewatch it. But then he was wearing a barong, which is a Filipino thing, so I'm like, all right. He was dressed up.
But I do love that he... that he recognized him. He's like, I saw you fight.
Yeah,
and he goes,
cool.
A lethal bantamweight. Yeah. Yeah. He's totally charming. A lethal bantamweight.
Yeah, he's wearing his like robe while he's vacuuming.
That's missing a few letters.
Yeah.
The part that makes me laugh is when she's like, can I get you anything? Anything else? Soda water? Anything? He's like I'll have a soda. Yeah, he's like, Ricky, get me a seltzer.
Get me a seltzer.
And from the kitchen, you hear him go, pick it up. Because he's a cook.
It was good because he talked.
Oh my God, it made me laugh.
Lainey Kazan
makes me laugh every time that scene. That whole like my dress, I only wore it once. Uncle Morty.
Oh my God,
that fraternity suite.
I have one. Yeah, I have one question.
I feel I know you a little. I feel I know you a lot, Morty. I feel like I really know you.
Yeah, it's so well written. A lot of good dialogue. Justine, what did you think? Not having.
I loved Casey Downey, Jessica.
Oh yeah, Jessica Harper.
I loved her.
Yeah,
I loved her a lot.
So adorable,
and also just smart and capable.
Yeah,
and not like
can't tell a joke
her.
To save her life though.
Hmm?
Can't tell a joke to save her life.
Yeah,
I love that too.
This guy is. This guy stands in.
And he's wearing a penguin.
Help!
It's a duck.
A duck.
And
he's wearing a.
And he's throwing a duck on his head. And he's,
please help me. I've got a duck on my head.
She asks the doctor, please help me. I have a duck on my head.
What's this for? Accordion lessons.
I love how we keep stopping. No, just say this guy. It's funnier. You know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Use your hands. That's okay. No, you're doing great.
She's like, there's a duck on my head. And
please help me.
Did you enjoy seeing Peter O'Toole not as Lawrence of Arabia?
Yes.
Yeah.
Awful charming, huh?
Mm-hmm. He's so charming. It kind of reminded me of... Jeff Goldblum isn't charming in that way, but he could totally charm his way to people's hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys recognize the Mrs. Horn that he dances with?
No.
It's Gloria Stewart. She was the lady in the Titanic.
Oh. And the Invisible Man. She's the girlfriend in the Invisible Man.
I was just like, this is just some old lady.
I was going to say,
she
was the Invisible Man.
She was the
Invisible
Man.
To me.
Even the moon's afraid of Gloria Stewart.
I didn't like that other guy, King.
Oh, you're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to.
That's good.
Joseph. Yeah, I didn't like
him. I do call people Jiminy Cricket pest bastards.
Oh, what a great scene. Yeah. I love that. Where do you get off talking to me like that, you Jiminy Cricket pest bastard?
And then I love...
see, he's got balls.
What a stink burger. Pull!
Yeah.
He's got so many great lines.
He does.
Oh, my God.
And he's supposed to be kind of like Sid Caesar, right?
Yes.
Now, was Sid Caesar an a-hole like that?
Well, he was intimidating. He was a big guy, burly, and Mel Brooks says he knocked out a horse. That scene from Blazing Saddles, he really did that. He hit a horse, like in Central Park, it like backed into his wife or something, and he hit the horse. So he said he was this strong guy. And there's another scene where he said, this really happened. They were talking in the writer's room, and Mel Brooks kept going, open a window, I need air, I need air. So Sid Caesar hung him out the window. He was strong. He hung him out the window, go, there's your air. air. You got enough air now?
Wow. Jesus, I love Christ. It.
So he was sort of like this intimidating, this big, burly, intimidating guy, but very talented. But the whole thing where he goes nuts, like he thinks he's got the wrong costume on, they said there was so much pressure on those guys because it was live. It's 90 minutes. It's live. And they said these guys were brilliant, people like Gleason and Sid Caesar. But it's a lot of pressure to deliver every week. You're doing like 39 episodes, and it's all live. You got to knock it out in a week. And so he said, that's what it would do to you. It'd drive these guys a little crazy.
I love the scene where he goes, though. I was a little hard on Cy. Get him something, huh? How about some tires?
Some white walls.
Get him some white walls. He's like, Cy's looking through his fingers like, yes.
Cy is my favorite.
Bill Macy.
Cy is so good.
How about Captain from Tortuga? Crap. How about this one?
Captain from Crap.
Crap. Swan
the
died.
Jitters.
The jitters. He's still in the throes of the jitters.
Give me the bear claw. And he like does that the way he grabs the bear claw. He spits the tea back. What about Herb? There's such great characters.
I liked him, yeah.
And Herb is based on Neil Simon.
Oh, really?
Because everybody in the writer's room was so loud, he would he'd whisper something to the guy next to him, like, here's a line. You know, he didn't want to say it out loud because everyone was so, like Mel Brooks and those guys were really wound up and loud. So Neil Simon was kind of mild-mannered. So it's kind of based on Neil Simon. He just whispered to the guy, hey,
wow, that's crazy.
How about this line?
And of course, the lady is Rosemary.
Well, Rosemary is based on, I can't think of her name, Kaylin. There was one woman writer on that show, and that's who Rosemary's based on, and that's who this woman's based on. There's woman on the writing staff of your show of shows.
Justine, what did you think of Anthony Bombicelli?
Anthony, who's that?
Hey, look, when Mr. Swan says he wants to make some stops, Anthony Bombicelli makes some stops.
He's pretty cool.
Everybody is good in this movie.
Everybody.
Yeah.
The scene where the mob, I forget the guy's name.
Boss Rojek.
Boss Rojek comes in.
Cameron Mitchell.
Let me tell you, for the first five minutes.
He was always a bad guy on TV shows. Always a bad guy on TV shows.
Let me tell you about the business I'm in. I don't like this thing. So I get rid of it. I feel happy. Let me get this straight. Like this jacket. I don't like it. I throw it out the window. Hey, you're right. I feel better.
It's cashmere.
I like how you hear the car screeching to a halt and a smash. I like the removal business. Yeah.
I love it.
And he puts on the wrong hat. He's got the big old prop hat on.
Patrick, what did you think?
He hates it.
I had a lot of fun with this movie.
Did you?
I really, really enjoyed this. And one of the things I really enjoyed it is, like, we've been watching some good movies, but they haven't had, like, really strong stories or leading to something and having meaning. And this actually had something behind the comedy and the humor, is that there was actually a really good and deep story behind it.
And you get that great monologue that the trailer ruined, where you really see how...
And it's just, the characters were great. Peter O'Toole was fantastic. He makes this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice to see him in a role besides Lawrence of Arabia to where he's like, damn, he's
actually... playing royalty. He's always playing kings, you know? Yeah.
You can see why he was famous.
And he really makes this movie. And it's hilarious. It's really, really funny, but it has a great story to it.
If I were drunk, could I do this?
Yes. I love his tearaway pants, the tearaway tie.
Gotta get him to invest in tearaway shoes.
Yeah.
And he said he wanted to do all the stunts. They said he did like 95%, even the stuff on the horse. He said, I can do it. It's better if I do it. It's going to look better. And he wanted to do all the comedy pratfalls.
That's awesome.
He loved Buster Keaton. All that stuff on the roof, he was very familiar with Keaton. And he says, you know, there's a way to do this. And it's better if I do it. If I'm falling into a wall, they said, my God, you're going to beat your brains out. They said, we did that 30 times where he like hits the bathroom wall with his head. He says, better if I do it. I'll just do it. Like,
he does a great job. I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's
so well done.
John recommended it to me years and years ago. And
Did I turn you on?
I'm sorry, John.
Was that your favorite?
You know who did it? Was the owner of the video store.
Ah. Great.
Because he showed me the scene where Bill Macy says, Janine, when are you going to let me get into your box? And I was like 15, and that's just like the funniest shit you've ever heard.
I love that. 15. And then he stops the matchbox to light the match up.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this, though. Like, this has been...
Me neither.
I feel like it's definitely a hidden gem.
Yeah, it's one of the forgotten classics is what I would call this.
And, yeah.
Deserves more love because it's great.
It was a big deal that year. It won awards and he was up for the Oscar and it was a big deal.
It just kind of got buried in the...
Yeah, and it made a star of Mark Lynn Baker. That's how he got the show, Nobody's Perfect.
Perfect Strangers. That's cousin... So,
he had only done... It says introducing Mark Lynn Baker because he'd only done Broadway.
Cousin Larry.
Yeah.
He was really good in it, too.
Peter O'Toole had, after the second day, he went to Richard Benjamin and said, you picked well for this lead. He's very good. And so he said, I waited a while before I told Mark Lynn Baker that. He said, you got a hell of a compliment from Peter O'Toole.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, because they both done stage. And so he says, yeah, this guy's got it. He's good. You know?
There's that scene at the end where he just talks about it. It's such a heartbreak.
That chokes me up every time. Because he's saying, I'm flesh and blood, I'm not bigger than life. And he goes, I can't use you bigger. I need you bigger than life. I can't use you life size.
Or just the scene how he, just watch the scene where he's watching his daughter.
Yeah.
And expressions. And he just ends up sinking in the car. That's such a great.
But even the better part is at the end when he's sitting in the car after you can't get on the show and he's right before he comes back. And
he throws the keys
Benny
at him.
Benny comes out and he says to him, you know, you couldn't get out of the car, could you? And just like totally tears him away. Mm-hmm. Just like, damn.
Yeah, and he says, drive this bum to the Waldorf. And then when his his faithful chauffeur throws the keys at him.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's it.
But I just love how he says that there must be some courage in you. Nobody's that good an actor.
Yeah.
There's got to be something in you because you sure fooled me, you know.
I love it.
It gets you every time.
I love it. Yeah. I love this movie.
And that last shot where they show him on the monitor. If you were to ask Alan Swan what his favorite moment was, he might have said this one.
That's a great way to close it out.
Yeah.
It's a great way to close it out.
So good.
I've gone to see Tess.
Oh, God. So great.
Swanee.
Perfectly. Yeah. Al. No. If I bring Jolson or Capone, it's Al. This is Alan.
Pick it up.
When he leaves with the note on the mirror and it says Duffy, he's like, who the fuck is Duffy?
That's a great moment. Oh, when they discuss.
It shows that
the real names.
He trusts them.
Like Cary Grant was Archibald Leach.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great moment.
Talk about a name, Archibald Leach. I know. A great name.
Archibald Leach becomes Cary Grant. My God. I mean, that's Hollywood.
Archie Leach.
Well, I mean, too, it's funny. Like, if you take a name like Cary Grant, that's a definite hero's name. Uh-huh. And then you take Archie Leach, villain.
He uses it as a pseudonym in a couple of his movies.
Friday.
Yeah, he uses Archie Leach.
He says something like, the last time I heard that was Archie Leach when he was leaving for New York.
Something like that. Well, let's rank this one. My favorite year, Hidden Gem. John, what do you want John's favorite?
It's a 10.
John, you give it
a 10? It's a 10. It's wonderful. It's just wonderfully written, perfectly cast. And boy, did they capture the time period.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
all that stuff
never
in
know.
Times Square, they talked about that. That's back when you had to do mats. You're actually doing matte paintings and backdrops. It's not CGI. Those shots of them walking underneath the marquees.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many small funny moments, too. Like the cop jumping off the horse to go take a piss is just
ridiculous. Because, I mean, of course he would do that.
He's just like, you see the way he's walking. He's like, fuck.
Early in the morning in the park.
All of it's great. You know, and Richard Benjamin worked as a page at NBC, so he intimately knew the whole layout of 30 Rock. He said, "Here, you know, when they're like blocking everything, here's where the elevators are. I worked that for years. Here's where the studio is." He just knew it.
That's crazy.
So he says, "This is the way this place operated in the 50s." It just perfectly captures the time period.
Jake, what do you say, bud?
I give this a 9.
9.
Great movie. Great comedy.
I'm glad you liked it. Justine?
I give it a 6.
What?
I gave it a 6.
Why did you give it a 6?
I only gave it a 6 because of the girl.
This is why I don't watch movies with her.
Okay.
Jessica Harper is wonderful in this. But
she's good.
But this is
this is a great
but
movie.
But for Peter O'Toole, if you were going to single out 3 performances, this is one of them.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to give Justine for next movie club. The Shaggy DA. Hello. Hey. Boom. Watch that on Disney Plus. You probably, it's Fred McMurray, though, so he's probably not. No, is it Dean Jones or Fred McMurray?
The Shaggy DA is Dean Jones. The Shaggy Dog is Fred McMurray.
Patrick?
This is a 10.
Yay!
This is a great movie. I was thoroughly surprised and did not expect it to like it that much. And it had me smiling, laughing the whole time.
Hey, babe, we're not married to it.
I hate it. It's awful. It's out.
Hey, babe. We're
These
not
are
married.
Chopsticks. You hold them like this, and then here's a fork.
I love that.
I want you to watch this movie over and over in front of Justine.
Can't watch movies.
And it's a gem. It makes you feel like telling other people about it, right?
It was. Yeah, like, yeah. I didn't expect this at all.
Yep.
Kind of nice to run into a movie you never heard of.
And talk about completely different in comparison to Fast Times.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't pick two more different movies.
So different.
But I feel like the comedy works because different things make you laugh for different reasons.
And I'm really surprised this is an 80s movie because it does not feel like one.
Nope.
This feels like the 50s. Like,
I always say it feels like a lost Mel Brooks movie. It like you're
does.
Seeing like
you're just like, damn.
That type of humor and just all kinds of. But except for Justine doesn't like.
Yeah, what the fuck?
What'd you give it?
I'll give it an 8. Solid 8. Yeah. Solid 8. I love it. 9s and 10s are hard, John.
I would watch this again. Like, I would watch this on the regular.
You gave it a 10. Would you give it 10?
10.
9. 6.
8. Over there.
Flip that, you got a 9.
Hey, put them together. 69.
I love it. Whee. All right, guys. For next week, we're going to watch The Dark Crystal.
Woo!
And we're going to watch Clash of the Titans.
Yes!
Not the 20.
No, we're in the 80s, dumbass. The audience knows.
My wife's favorite movie, Clash of the Titans. One of her favorites.
Oh, yeah?
This is her Star Wars.
You ready for Justine to rip it apart?
She loves this movie.
Now, remember, it's the old Clash of the Titans, not the new one.
Mm-hmm. We had to, yeah, please don't watch it.
Yeah, remember, not the 2010 or 20 whatever.
I didn't realize that. Nicole really loves this one.
She loves it. And then it's just one of those movies that was on all the time when we were kids, and
Is she a Ray Harryhausen fan? Jason and the Argonauts?
I don't think she...
It's this one specifically.
It's just this one specifically.
What's the last one? Yeah.
And you got everybody in it.
Jesus, you get Burgess Meredith.
Yeah, Laurence Olivier. You get Ursula Andress.
Ursula Andress.
Mm-hmm. Justine, get ready for awesome special effects and the dark crystal.
And for Justine, Harry Hamlin.
Yeah.
In a toga.
You mean Dark Crystal, Angry Muppets?
She'll like them.
I'm glad Sandy's forced to watch it because she thinks they're really creepy.
Who's that?
The Skeksis.
The Skeksis are creepy.
Yeah, she thinks she doesn't like
and
it.
And they're not as creepy as the freaking Beatles.
She does not like it.
Times 1981.
Huh?
We're going back in time.
Yeah, we missed Clash of the Titans somehow, so we're going to go back and pick it up.
We're
going forward ahead. This is a great thing about the 80s. You can kind of move stuff
doesn't
around
really
a little
matter.
Bit.
Yeah.
Yep.
That isn't
Maggie Smith.
I think after the I think in the 80s is when they all kind of
she's gonna be young.
Do you watch, is she in Downton Abbey? Do you watch Downton Abbey?
I don't watch that, but I know her from everything else.
You should watch Murder by Death. She is absolutely fabulous with that, with David Niven, your buddy from Guns of Never.
That's usually what happens after a murder.
All right, guys. We're gonna talk about all this stuff next week.
Yeah.
We'll see you, John, Jake, Patrick, Justine, this transmission ends now. Fight the power, guys. Here's a little Nat King Cole singing Stardust, which is great way to open my favorite year and a great way to close our little show. So until then, fight the power.
And now the purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart. You wander down the lane and far away, leaving me a song that will not die. Love is now the stardust of yesterday, the music of the years gone by. Sometimes